For me, quite clearly, the Trump lawsuit is designed to intimidate the BBC and to send a message to the wider media that he's got them in his sights.
Hello, welcome to this IBA Global Insight podcast. I'm Alice Johnson, the IBA's multimedia journalist. US President Donald Trump has filed a $10 billion defamation lawsuit against the BBC in Florida over an edit of a speech he made on the 6th of January 2021, featured in a Panorama documentary broadcast a week before the US presidential election. Trump's decision to sue the BBC followed the leak of an internal report which raised concerns about the edit of the speech and political impartiality at the BBC. Criticism of the edit has led to the resignations of the BBC's Director General, Tim Davie, and its head of news, Deborah Turnus.
They actually changed my January 6th speech, which was a beautiful speech, which was a very calming speech, and they made it sound radical.
That was Trump speaking in a Fox News interview shortly before he filed the lawsuit. The BBC has apologised to Trump for what it called an error of judgment, but has denied defaming him and is seeking to have the case dismissed. The crisis has sparked public debate about allegations of political bias at the BBC and the governance structures and oversight needed to ensure its impartiality and editorial independence.
I would characterise the Trump lawsuit as aggressive and frivolous. I think most people would agree with that, unless you are an absolute Trump loyalist.
This is Nick Pollard speaking, the former head of Sky News and chairman of the Ofcom Content Board.
I think most people would agree that the mistake was unnecessary and foolish and a bad one. But, of course, bizarrely, it wasn't discovered for months afterwards. So it wasn't as if people saw it and spotted it right at the start, and it was conspicuous. It wasn't. For me, quite clearly, the Trump lawsuit is designed to intimidate the BBC and to send a message to the wider media that he's got them in his sights.
The edit spliced together two parts of a speech Trump made at a rally on the 6th of January 2021, which the BBC conceded had resulted in the mistaken impression that President Trump had made a direct call for violent action. Trump's lawyers allege in court documents that the corporation intentionally and maliciously edited the speech he gave before the attack on the US Capitol. The BBC denies there is any basis for a defamation claim and says the edit was not done with malice. Jill Phillips, the former director of editorial legal services at The Guardian, says that while it is fair that the editorial error is criticised, Trump's defamation lawsuit appears to be an abusive legal action designed to intimidate and silence the media.
I have to say that this lawsuit by Donald Trump does seem to be a classic slap suit to me. I mean, I don't know the inside story about who did it, how it came to be done, who was aware of what had been done. So I can't make any comments on the process. You know, generally speaking, ethically, making edits, you have to be very careful not to mislead. And that's a sort of fundamental principle. But, you know, as I understand it, this was 10 seconds in an hour long documentary that was itself aiming to be balanced about the issue. This is one of the essence of slap suits. You tie people up in knots in very expensive litigation, and you don't really care what the outcome is at the end of the day. And, you know, suing in this sort of way, which is going to cost the BBC, even if they come out of it successfully, even if it's on the motion to dismiss, which is a sort of short preliminary application on one level, it's going to cost them hundreds of thousands of pounds probably. And you know, who's benefiting from that? No one.
Mark Stevens, CBE, is a UK defamation lawyer and co-chair of the IBA's Human Rights Institute. He believes Trump's lawsuit against the BBC is very unlikely to succeed.
A libel law suit requires proof of serious harm, actual malice, and the Panorama wasn't aired in the US. And I think most reasonable people will think that Donald Trump's reputation was already shaped by judicial findings and global coverage of January the 6th. You know, blaming the BBC for wrecking the president's reputation is like blaming the last raindrop for a flood. It's just not the case. So in those circumstances, I don't think the BBC have anything that they can do apart from defend this case, defend it because it's necessary for public interest journalism, necessary because it's appropriate to hold democratically elected people to account publicly, and to ensure that high levels of defamation claims, billions of dollars, are not used to extinguish criticism.
The leaked report, which highlighted the Panorama edit and provoked the lawsuit from Trump, also included concerns about other areas of BBC reporting, where its author, Michael Prescott, a former independent advisor to the BBC's Editorial Guidelines and Standards Board, perceived systemic bias. His claims have sparked debate about the future of the BBC and the state of its news coverage, including accusations of institutional bias and political interference. Critics of the report question the political background of Prescott and his links to a BBC editorial board member involved in its amplification, leading to allegations of a right-wing coup at the BBC, which Prescott denies. Culture Secretary Lisa Nandy has said the perception of political influence at the BBC is a problem, adding that political appointments to the editorial board would be examined as part of the review for the next BBC Royal Charter.
Well, I think it's a messy situation to have almost a third of the BBC board appointed by the government, because you're trying to say, on the one hand, this is an independent organisation, and yet, on the other hand, a third of the board of governors are appointed by the government of the day.
This is Alan Rusbridger speaking, the former editor of The Guardian.
So I would remove all the government-appointed directors, work out a more sensible appointment system. And finally, I think you have to have a board to which the editor-in-chief, director-in-general, or deputy director-in-general, whoever is the editor-in-chief, a board of people who aren't just drawn from finance and business, but have actually worked as journalists or in the creative sector, who can offer some protective cover or judgment to the director general, so that when these controversies arise, you've got people who can make reasonable judgments based on their own experience.
Though the BBC remains among the most trusted news services in the UK, with 60% of respondents surveyed by the Reuters Institute saying it's trustworthy, Nick Pollard is concerned about the impact of attacks against it from both sides of the political spectrum, particularly on social media.
Those political attacks are here to stay. They are never going to diminish from now on. I'm quite pessimistic about the chances, if you like, of a BBC rebound. I mean, it's widely known that trust in the BBC by the public has fallen. It hasn't plummeted, but if you look at the surveys that have been done and the reports that have been done by Ofcom and others over the past 10 years, it's clear that public trust in the BBC, which was once very high, has fallen steadily. And you'd have to say that going with that is a fall in trust of the BBC, that the BBC is genuinely impartial. Now, if you were to say, in that same 10-year period, has the BBC actually become less impartial? I don't think it has. It tries incredibly hard to be fair and impartial in its coverage. It doesn't always succeed, and it makes mistakes, as every single media outlet does. But I think the fact that public trust in it is falling, and I'm sure it will fall, is just really a marker of the ferocious attacks that are made on the BBC every day in all sorts of media, but particularly social media, by people who just don't like the BBC and don't like what it stands for from various political standpoints. That is not going to go away. I think the only way of fighting back, the only thing that the BBC can realistically do in terms of its of the quality of its journalism, is fight 24 hours a day to keep the quality of its journalism high, to remain impartial.
Following legal threats from Trump over the Panorama edit, the BBC, in a controversial move, decided to remove criticism of Trump by Dutch historian Rutger Bregman in one of its prestigious Wreath lectures. The BBC said the decision was made after it received legal advice. The redaction has led to allegations of censorship by the BBC and concerns about the potential chilling effect of Trump's actions. Alan Rusbridger shares his view.
If you listen to the whole of the Wreath lectures, which I have, by a Dutch historian called Rutger Bregman, they're very balanced. You could say that he's as harsh on the left as he is on the right. In fact, quite often his main critique is with the left. And to highlight one line in one lecture and say, oh, no, we can't say that because we're frightened that that will make Trump even crosser, does speak to the chilling effect of this kind of legal action. And it is why in the United States there is this doctrine called New York Times versus Sullivan. It's called the Sullivan Doctrine, which is based on a 1964 Supreme Court case, which gives the American media an immense latitude in talking about public figures. And of course, there's no bigger public figure than the President of the United States. And it was because the judges there recognized the chilling effect of legal suits that they have afforded American media tremendous leeway in writing, broadcasting about public figures, including the right to make mistakes. Because they say, if you know, all journalists do make mistakes, and if you're going to be punished for making a mistake with a, you know, X million dollar settlement, then you are likely to be chilled in what you say, you know. And this this threat over the Wreath lectures is a case in point, or the self-censorship over the Wreath lectures. And that's why it's so important for the BBC to fight this case, because that doctrine, the Sullivan Doctrine, is there to protect journalists.
In the US, Trump has filed similar lawsuits against American broadcasters over their news coverage, which in some cases have led to multi-million dollar settlements. Nick Pollard says this demonstrates a coordinated attack by the Trump administration against public interest journalism.
I think Trump would be delighted to hear of a chilling factor. I mean, Trump has no interest in fair and honest journalism. I don't think there's any argument that the White House likes to attack media, intimidate them if they can, and bully them into coughing up money to be handed over to who knows where. So there is a chilling effect, I think. So it's scary, in my view, that the BBC took that line out, and it suggests that they are looking over their shoulder a bit at what's coming next from the White House.